We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
So, as we continue our First Things First series, I kind of want to look at the principles God lays out to acknowledge or for us to acknowledge and live by. And last week we took some time talking about dreams, didn't we? Because how many know in a new year, everyone is driven by goals and dreams and okay, we get back on the horse, right? No matter how many times the horse has been dead, we're going to try and revive that thing. Clear? It's my dream here, you know? And so as I was thinking about dreams and thinking about goals, something I had learned after looking into God's word is this principle of how we chase so much after the dream, but we don't often do it the way God did it, where God creates an atmosphere to sustain the dream prior to creating the dream. And so if you missed that message, I think it's probably one of the most pivotal messages in the life and where we're going. I would encourage you need to go back and get it. It's free anywhere. It's on our website, on Facebook, on anything. Just find it. It's there, I promise. But the concept is we chase after the dream just to finally make it to the mountaintop, just long enough to stumble and fall down the other side, but claim we were there once. And then we live a life of valleys talking about the mountaintops, remembering when we were at the mountaintop that time. You know, and for those that were so worried that, you know, I brought a real live goldfish as an analogy, I just want you to know Marlin is happy and healthy. I don't know what's going on with our software, but I promise. But we gave him quite the welcome home party. Why don't we give him the rave picture? I don't know what's going on. You give me the next picture here, Danny D. Yeah, we had a little rave party for Marlin. All right, thank you. Our software is messing with him today. And what you don't know is I sent that to him in the middle of worship going, I should have him have these pictures. So it's all me, Danny D, all me. So anyway, Marlin's good. Marlin the first passed the night before. But it's not my fault. They said they could live in the bag for 2 days. Anyway, Marlin is home, and the concept is you don't just go get a goldfish without what? Without considering a place for it to live and water and food and the things to sustain the dream. So for those that are catching up, last week we talked about how to create an environment to sustain your dream or an atmosphere to sustain your dream. Today I want to shift gears because God has a lot of firsts. He has a lot of first things, and a lot of them are principles. A lot of them are core values. A lot of them are things that if we retain and hold on to, it helps us get through this life less messed up. It's the best way I can say it. And so as I get into part two, I just want to preface it with this thought. One of the saddest things I see looking around our world is the way people view themselves. My heart breaks for those who have a distorted view of their self-worth, self-image, and especially for those who gravely undervalue themselves. It made me think, as I thought about this, it made me think of the schoolyard and how much I had a love-hate relationship for recess and gym class, because how many know everyone loves not having to go to academics? Well, not everyone, but what I can tell you is I had a love-hate relationship for schoolyard and for recess because I absolutely loved being there, but there was something that I always struggled with, and it was when it came time to pick teams. And the reason it struggled with me is because I wanted to win. But even at a young age, I realized winning wasn't as important as somebody feeling valued. And so I struggled because oftentimes I'd be the person that they would choose to pick teams on one of the sides, and I'd hate it because I wanted to win. But there's nothing worse than feeling like you're not valued. There's nothing worse than feeling like you weren't picked. And so I struggle with that. So oftentimes I would not be willing to be the captain because I didn't want to have to make those choices and put people in those situations. But I would still stand on the side going, oh, someone please pick Ralphie. Someone please pick you. Why? Because there's nothing worse. And I know those things can mess with people at a young age and mess with them through life if they don't get back to the first things God says about them. Because how many understand we don't have to be a victim of the environment if we understand who created the environment? I don't have to be a victim of the environment I grew up in if I understood whose fingerprints created me and who I truly am. So today, as I begin talking about part two, I want to talk to you about how you are valued. You are valued. It says in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people. A what? God picked you. He chose you for his team. For anyone that has struggled with recess from that day forward, God chose you. You're part of his team, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession to proclaim the virtues of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Would you look at your neighbor and tell them heaven chose you? Heaven chose you. If you're taking notes and you're doing the fill in the blanks, listen. In life, allowing the current culture to appraise your value confirms the constant state of depreciation. If you allow your self-worth, your value, to come from those that are surrounding you or the culture that is speaking to you, you're going to constantly depreciate in value because how many know there's a very moment in life they call prime and nothing else matters at that point? And where was that? Was it exactly at 27 where you were wise enough not to make the stupid decisions, but young enough to still pull? I don't know where it is. But there's a prime moment. And the minute you get beyond your prime, you depreciate. In a world of competition and people who love to pull each other down to feel better about themselves, we've got to remember what God said first. Have you ever heard of the crab pot effect? If you put a bunch of crabs in the pot, they're all going to fight to try and get out. And rather than celebrating the one that's getting closer, all the others pull the one that's closest to the top back down, rather than helping it get out. They have no idea. Maybe there's a crab helicopter on the other side of the pot, and they could have come and got them all. That's the way my life thinks. That's the way I think. But no, they just pull them right back down. They won't allow anyone to move forward because of what it makes them feel like. And in this world, we live in a crab pot kind of world. So our focus needs to shift from what the world says back to the first things God says. It's about our focus. We see what we believe, not always what actually is. What does that mean? It means what I see comes through my perspective and my lens that was created from my worldview. It does not mean what I see is actually true all the time. It means it's true to me. Has anybody ever had to write an essay or a paper? Have you ever tried to use big words and then realized you should probably look in the dictionary to see if you're using it correctly? Just because you think it sounds right does not mean it's right. And sometimes the dictionary tells you you're wrong. But I could have sworn you could use it in that tense. No, you can't. But what I know is this. I'm going to put this down. I'm going to break something, I promise you. Listen, when it comes to what God says about us, we have to look at it through God's lens, not through our lens, because we actually have a lens that's been created by the worldview around us and by what people have said around us and by the people that we've trusted so much that may have, in anger, said things that weren't true, but it made them feel better in the moment, and it's hurt us ever since. We have to reshift and go back to the first things first. The fact is God looked at us and he said he created us good, it says in Genesis 1:30. God saw all that he made and it was very good. But we focus on what we feel in the moment or what others think instead of what God already said. I believe heaven weeps when someone lives a life devaluing what God already called good. Number one, if you're taking notes, your existence confirms your value. Just the fact that you are, just that you're here, just that you have air in your lungs, just that God already created you. The fact that you're here, not just in the church, but the fact that you exist confirms your value. A creator never creates without purpose. The fact that you are here confirms your value. Your parents may have seen you as a surprise, but you were right on time in the story God was writing. You may have even been told you were a mistake, but they were the ones mistaken. I promise you, God was not surprised. You were right on time because you were created for a purpose for such a time as this. If you were born early, it would have been for that time, but you were born where you were born. God knew you were coming and he had it planned. You were right on time, a creation valued by the creator for such a time as this. Listen to me, if you're taking notes, you were created on purpose, with purpose, for a purpose. This makes you incredibly valuable to the one who created you. I love what Isaiah 43:1 says. It says, "But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he formed you. O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." He created us. He knows and calls us by name. We are his. Heaven chose us. And so you go, well, I know the scripture. I know what it says. But do we live a life where we actually believe the first thing God said? Or are we like so many others just allowing the world? Because how many know, look, I don't know about you, but I like to be liked. I don't like when people don't like me. It tears me up. And I've come to realize that in this life, not everyone's going to like you unless you do nothing. If you do nothing and just stay in the status quo and try and absolutely just stay in a neutral position, even then someone's going to be like, that person doesn't have a backbone because they don't do anything. So you're not always going to be liked by everybody. Jesus wasn't liked by everybody. But what I need to remember is I was created good and I was chosen by heaven and God values me so much. And the fact that you are here, someone needs to hear that. The fact that you exist confirms your value. Yeah. Somebody tell somebody he's right. He's onto something. The Bible tells us that we were knit together in our mother's womb. What does that mean? Has anyone ever tried to knit? Yeah. I gave that up the first time I tried. I had to do it in home ec or whatever, home, one of those classes that I was so good at, as you can tell. But what I'll tell you is it takes a lot of care and a lot of focus to actually get it right. You may not think you look right. You may not feel all the time like you are right, but God took care and concern in making you exactly how he made you. And the fact that you're here confirms your value. So number one, your existence confirms your value. Number two, the creation's value is determined by the creator. I recently went into an electronics store and was looking at some new product that just dropped as of late. And the thing was great. It was amazing. It would be helpful in my everyday life. And so as I was looking at it, I'm like, oh yeah, I could see so many uses for this. And then I flipped it over and looked at the price tag. I was like, whoa, really? Like, for that? I mean, it's like, really? But then it kind of reminded me that I didn't create it and I don't get to determine its value. Even though it seems so small, and even though I'm like, how many pieces could they actually have in this thing? I mean, the thing is like, you know, thinner than a gum. Not like the gum package, but what seems like literally a gum slice, a piece of gum. I'm just like, a slice of pizza gum, for those that are wondering. But I'm looking at this going, wow, really, that's the cost? And then, but it did bring to mind, who am I to choose what it should have been put on the market as? I didn't create it, and only the creator can determine what it's worth. And so I have to remind myself, our creator alone got to determine our value. You're valuable, not just because mama always called you special. Because your creator knits you together. Your creator took time and care. Your creator chose your value. And we can't allow the world to reappraise us. When we allow our world to reappraise us, we will always depreciate in value. We've got to stay focused on what God already said. So if you find yourself constantly trying to prove your worth to someone, you have already forgotten your value. I need somebody to get this today, though. Not just like, I'm not just looking for it to be something where you feel better about yourself. Actually, if you would look at God's words and go back to what he said first and actually choose to believe them, it could change your life. It could transform your marriage. It could transform your household. You getting it in you, giving it to the children that you have, could change their life. See, God's word, it's breathing. It's not old and dead. It's alive and breathing. And if I can get it in me and it transforms my world, what can I do to someone else's world? As a parent, I've come to realize that nothing else matters other than my children. And what I mean by that is whether or not I ever own the house on the beach that everyone dreams about, whether or not I ever own that other thing, or whether or not I ever get to go to that place, all of that would mean nothing if my kids spiral out because I didn't choose to teach them the first things God said. We've got to build in our culture, in our family, in our world. It's not what the world said, it's what God said. We've got to let the world know that it doesn't matter what they think of me because my value doesn't come from them anyway. You guys ever see that show? It's kind of like, it's always on really like in the weird, awkward hours where like people find random things in their house and they bring it to some guy to appraise. And you know, it's like always the show on the road. And they're like, well, that jar is from X and X. I mean, I feel like so many people, they in life go to these people every day. Their everyday life, they're going to another person that reappraises them. And they go, I like what that person said, so I'll go back to them instead. And then they spend their time running around trying to find their value and their worth. But actually, God's already given us our value and your existence confirms your worth. And the creator has already chosen what the creation's value is. But yet we're still trying to feel reaffirmed by the world. Don't let the world reaffirm you. You're not planning on staying here, are you? The Bible says that we are foreigners. God's word says that we belong to a kingdom of heaven. How would the world ever know the value of heaven? If I would just set my eyes on the place I'm going, not where I am, and I would look to the one that created me for value, not the one who's trying to feel better about themselves so they keep pulling me down in the crab pot. We are valued because God said so, so that settles it. Many think their value is based on what they have rather than who they already are, whose they are. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes 4:4. Then I observed that most people are motivated to success because they envy their neighbors. But this too is meaningless, like chasing the wind. No, it's not meaningless, your future. I love what Jeremiah 29:11 says. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Amen. Not plans to give you the house on the beach. Amen, I'd like that, but that's not what it says. Right. To give you a hope and a future. Okay, well, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's probably better than what the world is already trying to give me. Yeah. It's probably better than what the little pea brain sometimes that I have. I'm a very wise man. But his ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And so if I want to actually get everything out of life, I've got to just trust him. Okay, I'll move on. God determined a good future for his people, one filled with hope and a future. You are so valued by God. You have a future he designed especially for you. Does anyone like custom-made things? Maybe your name's etched on it. Maybe, you know, one of the things that really exploded in the last decade was like not just custom-made phones, like where you could choose everything you want, but custom-made cars. Like you can literally walk into a Tesla store and touch and feel and look at colors and say, I'm going to build my own car and this is going to be customized and I'm going to have it like this and that and this and that. And they go, okay, I'll do that for you. See, that's what God did for our future. He already custom designed something for you and I. But how many know there are years of sowing before you ever reap? How many know some of the best miracles come on the back of storms? So we oftentimes feel like we're completely off course when we're actually right in the right spot. We just need to activate faith. Sometimes we feel like we have no clue where we're going, but that's where God says, no, come on, keep coming. Faith, step by step. Some people feel like, I don't feel like I'm gaining ground, but they find themselves in God's house every week, in the word every day, activating obedience in serving and in tithes and in all of the other things. And they still go, but God, am I gaining ground? I promise you, when we follow God's word, we're gaining ground. But it's not just for the momentary goal. It's about the fact that he has a special future designed especially for you. Because like your mom always said, you special. So I'll dig more into this idea next week, but let me jump on to point three. Number three, our value was affirmed through intentionality. Have you ever lost something really important? Sorry, misplaced it. Misplaced it, yes. I remember on my honeymoon, my wife and I, we decided we'd spent so much time traveling other places, but we really wanted to spend time in California. So we flew into San Diego, and while we were there in one of the resorts, and then we rented a car to go up the coast and see just everything we could see. And while we were there, the very first resort we stay in is the very first place I lose my ring. See, I'm the kind of guy that I have checks and balances. I put it in a safe place. It was just so safe I couldn't remember where I put it until I was gone. So I remember being about 15 minutes down the road, headed up the coast, about to get on Route 1, it's going to be awesome. My hands are on the steering wheel. Ah! She goes, what? Like, my ring! Almost as though we weren't married until I found the ring, right? And so we're calling, it's frantic for a moment because the ring isn't, from the Cracker Jack box. It's, it is what it is. And so I'm freaking out because I'm like, I'm a failure as a husband. I lost the ring. I might as well have lost you, totally overreacting. But the point is, I immediately became super intentional about stopping what we were doing and not doing anything else till we found it. I called up and I said, look, it's in the soap dish jar thingamajig. I remember now. I remember where it is. And they went and they secured it. They put it safe and we went back and, I went and got the ring. And the intentionality of stopping everything to find it proved its value to me. Because there are many things that I go, where did that go? Julie, I had a hat. Where'd that hat go? It was next to the scarf. Where'd the scarf go? Ah, whatever. $25. It's not cheap, but it's cheap. Whatever. It'll either turn up or I'll get another hat. See, the way that you're intentional proves the value. I intentionally stopped to find the ring, not so much for the hat. When something is lost, depending on how important it is to you, how valuable you see it will determine on how intentional you are in finding and resecuring it. In Luke 15:8, it says, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one, doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I talk all the time about how when one person makes a decision, heaven begins to party. That's where the scripture comes from, okay? The fact is this, God is so intentional about finding every last one of us. His intentionality proves our value. See, God, he's not okay with you knowing about him. He's not okay until you know his son Jesus and you actually have a connection with him, because the Bible says there's no way that you get to the Father if you do not go through the Son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. None come to the Father except through me. And you may say, I know God. I've heard of Jesus. And God goes, that's not good enough. We need a relationship. I intentionally sent my son so that you would accept my son. So intentionally, there would be a relationship. Three people are excited about that. God was intentional in finding you. We always say, like, I found God. No, God, you know, or we always talk about how God found us. God never lost us, so to speak. We walked away. And by the time we return to God, he's ready to party because he's been waiting for you. He has intentionally planned this moment. Somebody thankful for that? Yes. Whew. He didn't stop pursuing us. He looked for us. He made a way for us. God was intentional at finding a way to graft us back into his family, to restore what was lost and to reinstate us in our rightful place as his heirs. Somebody, come on, in line for an inheritance, somebody. We're so focused on the beach house, we forget there's an inheritance in heaven. That's better than that. I'd like them both. So would you. But there's first things first. Romans 8:15. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Daddy Father, Abba Father. Not just Mr., not just Sir. There's relationship. I love what it says in Romans 8:17. We jump down. It says, and since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. Hello. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. No one likes that part of the verse. I'm all about being an heir, but I don't want to have to pay for nothing. Our value has already been written. We get to share in God's glory because he thinks we're that valuable. He's already called us heirs. We already have an inheritance waiting. I'm not saying you shouldn't be upset that you didn't get that promotion, but I'm saying you live for more than the promotion. Okay, I'll keep moving. Our value, number four, our value was confirmed on the cross. It says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this way. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, your value wasn't because you decided to become good or you allowed God to make you good, because he's the only reason we're righteous, right? We're made right because of him, not because we are righteous. We're righteous because he said we're righteous because of who Jesus is and what he does for us. Amen? Amen, anybody? But listen, God, he showed how much he valued us by dying for us while we were not even interested in being good. He thought of you all those years before. He chose to die for what he valued the most, even when that very creation he valued did not seem concerned with him. So how valued are you? Well, I don't know about you. I don't know your dating life. I don't know any of those things. Hopefully, if you're married, you're not still dating. But what I'll tell you this, when, you would think that'd be obvious, just saying. Okay, listen, focus. What I know is that when somebody values someone else more, the relationship normally doesn't work. And the person who values the other person more normally will not even go through the trouble because they see the lack of value. That is exactly opposite of what God did. God said, even though I value them way more than they value me, even though they don't even seem interested in this situation, I am going to do the only thing I know to do and give everything I have for this. So when you talk about value, don't be upset because that guy or that girl doesn't notice you. If you are valuing them more than they value you, then it's probably not going to work out. But God said, hey, I already valued you way more than you valued me. And so I already went there. I already did it. I already paid for it. I got the ring. You are good. You are golden. And I'm coming back for my bride. The value that you have in God is far greater than anything you would ever see or feel on this earth. Our value was confirmed on the cross. See, what someone is actually willing to pay reveals the true value. See, the creator gets to determine what it's valued at. The creator says, I believe the worth is this. But guess what? What someone is willing to pay for it actually confirms it. I could have a car in the parking lot out there that I want to sell, which I do not. This is not a moment where I'm trying to sell a car. I'm using an illustration, okay? So I could have a car and say, this car is worth $30,000. And someone goes, that car's not worth $30,000. I would never pay that. And then someone else walks by and goes, I will give you $30,000. I go, see, it was worth it. The point is, it doesn't matter what the creator calls the value if they're not willing to see someone pay for the value. See, God said, you are worth this much, which is outrageous. But then the son came and said, I'll pay for that because they're worth it. Yeah. Our value is confirmed on the cross. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. God was willing to pay for you. Jesus said, yep, I agree. That's exactly what their value is. I will lay my life down. I will affirm, reconfirm. I will confirm that that is the price because I'm willing to pay it. You are worth far more than you think because God said it first. God's word stands. If you're taking notes, no one can make you inferior, feel inferior without your consent. When I know what God already said about me, I have to allow somebody to speak into my world and change that. I have to give them consent to change my value because I already know God said I'm valued. Jesus already confirmed what my value was. Why do you give so many people consent in areas they do not belong? Why do you allow people to speak in areas that actually they don't even have the passcode to be in that area of your heart? Why do you allow people to remold you and reshape you as a person when God already did a good job, he said in Genesis? Protect yourself. Guard your heart, the Bible says, because everything flows from it. But yet, what do we see in this generation? People giving their heart away for anything that'll make them feel good in the moment. And they wonder why everything gets so screwed up. People wonder why more than any other generation, we see people on depression, anxiety pills, medications, all these things. Why? Because they have literally let their heart go on roller coasters they weren't designed for. They've given their heart away. They were looking for love in all the wrong places. You need to remember your worth. Transform the way you see yourself by renewing your mind. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Listen, if I want to actually get out of depression, if I was in depression, which I'm not, but some may be, if I actually wanted to change my level of anxiety, if I actually wanted to change my own self-worth and self-esteem, guess what I would do? I would not continually look for acceptance in the world. I would continually go back to what God already said and build it in my soul, in my spirit, in my mind to say, God, you know what? I don't feel beautiful, but you say, you said, God, I don't feel valued, but you did this for me. You paid for me. I would continue to renew my mind by God's word, not by the world's thoughts. Ephesians 1, 4 through 6, as I begin to close and the keys can come back or whoever's coming back. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. In accordance with his pleasure and will to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves. How much more value could you get than God of all creation setting up a way in which he could adopt you again after you did not deserve it? Deciding to bankrupt heaven and pay the ransom price, confirming your value. First things first, we got to remember what God said about you. We got to remember that no matter what this world has told you, no matter what people have made you feel like, going all the way back to your recess moments, you need to remember this. Heaven chose you. Heaven called you. Heaven wants you a part of their team. And the only thing that makes heaven weep is when you decide not to believe the value God has already placed on your life. Would you bow your heads?
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.